Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the help you are going to give us. We thank you for the navigation of the Spirit. We thank you for the authority that is in this house. You know, we thank you because we all come under that grace, under that expression, under that you know spiritual covering. We find grace to navigate the water. You know, we find grace to bring to bear your intent, your purpose, your mandate for this day in the name of Jesus. We receive help in the Spirit, you know, for me, you know, to find grace to follow you, to align with you. Please bless me with grace, you know, with utterance, with expression, you know, with spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you are faithful. Thank you because you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Can somebody shout a big hallelujah? Love in the Spirit. That's been our team. And we're in lesson 3. Hallelujah. Our lesson 1 topic was introduction of love. You know, our second lesson 2 was love the nature of God and the new creation culture. Hallelujah. You know, love the nature of God and the new creation culture. Hallelujah. Amen. Love is the nature of God and the new creation culture. We just do a recap of our last lesson. You know, Pastor Mrs. made it so clear, you know, that love is first and foremost in nature. Hallelujah. And nature is what is in it. Nature is a constituent. It's a constituent, you know. You get property from the constituent. Hallelujah. You know, before you talk about characteristics of a living thing, you know, the thing is already living. So life goes beyond characteristics. Life is more than characteristics. You know, the fact that something is moving, can see, can hear, can eat, you understand, you know. You only use that which you see from the external to buttress what is living. So the life is not what you are seeing. So the constituent, when you say nature, is the constituent first. So we see God in different ways, you know, at different times, you know, in the Old Testament, teaches people what love is and how to walk in the reality of it based on the level of their covenant. Hallelujah. So from the epistle, you know, the apostles of the church will find that there are different levels and types of love that were defined and revealed by the Spirit. The love in the Spirit, you know, love which is also love towards the saints. We also have love of Christ or the love of the Spirit. Then we have love of God or love of the Father. So love, as we have said, is first and foremost a being on his own. Hallelujah. God doesn't do love. Amen. And God doesn't have love. Hallelujah. We do love. We have love. Hallelujah. But when it comes to God, we say this love that is in God, you know, is a love that it's what he is. Amen. You know, the way the Bible said that, you can't separate God and love. It's not possible. To separate God and love is not possible. You can't separate God and love. And that God love or love with God is, you know, is cascaded to us, you know, in 3 levels. Hallelujah. You know, and in that level, you know, the way Pastor Missy said that the love is one. That love is one. It's just that because it's coming to us who are on this other side of the divide, you know, we have to take it from the step down level. Amen. And then take it back to the high voltage. So love in the Spirit, or love in the Spirit, is what we actually start with. You know, we start with love in the Spirit. We move on to love of the brethren, you know, or love of the Spirit, you know, or love towards the saints. The love of the Spirit is the one that basically that in that environment, that love demands that we get purified. Amen. It's the love that purifies. So at every level of work, it's so sure and so certain that there's a takeaway. Amen. There's a walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At every level of work, there's a walk. There's a takeaway. There's an absorbing of a nature. And when we come to the God kind of law, the love of the Father, you know, it's the love that the God has shared amongst themselves. That love is pure, is incorruptible, it's eternal. It is the highest of the voltage of love that God really is. Hallelujah. The spiritual maturity and stature of a believer determines the quality, the depth, the level of love expressed and displayed. So our maturity, our stature will determine the level of this love that we can display. So that buttress again, the nature of God, you know, the culture of the new creature is actually something that can be seen. Say seen. And our maturity, how much we are growing, you know, how much we are growing upward, heavenward, will determine the quality of love, you know, that we can express. Love is the essence of God. God does not have love. Say, God does not have love. God does not have love. Say, God does not have love. But God is love. It is all the encompassing description of every nature of God. Now, when you say you are doing God, you are doing God. You understand? What you are saying basically is that you are getting the essence of God. When you say you have a thing and you are something, they are two different things. You know, we have explained that earlier on, that life and characteristics are not the same thing. You know, the fact that a fish is in the water does not mean that it is water. Do we agree? A fish in the water, it swims in the water, that is habitat, that is where it lives, but it doesn't have the water. You know? Hallelujah. So that means that when you are looking at the aquatic life, the life living in the aquatic, you know, the being living in it, they don't even have what they are living in. Amen. So, but when you come to God, you understand, God lives in love and he is love. And that's when you can separate a fish from the ocean. It might end up dying or you can put it in an aquarium. But when you come to God, you can't separate that world. It's not possible. We can't separate it. Amen. So that was it. It's the essence of God. And all that God is, all God expression, you know, you can define them in that which he is. Amen. At new birth, the genetic code of God was written into our spirits and essence, and we are now carrier of God's gene in our spirit. We have potential to see as he sees, you know as he knows, you know, and judge as he judges, and love as he loves. So our new birth, we are made to understand basically that God gave us a new spirit. And in that new spirit, you know, the gene of God called love is in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the gene of God, you know, is in that, you know, spirit that God gave to us at the beginning. You know, when we say you got born again and you came to the Lord, you know, and you start your Christian journey, you know, love was encoded into our spirit. Amen. So we already have the, you know, the genetics of God. And a gene is what determines what you become. Do you agree with me? You know, scientists these days, they can pick, you know, your gene. And from your gene, they can actually tell about so many things. Even they are even learning today that they can alter genes to give a certain attribute, a certain characteristics. You know, take for example, let's say in my lineage, we are short people. Hallelujah. And I want my children to be tall people. They can take my gene and alter it that all my children will be tall. So gene is the base of life. It's the basis of life. It's the foundation for life. You know, and the Bible now says that in that our spirit at birth, you know, that God put that gene, which is love, which he is, into that spirit. You know, so everyone has the capacity to love. If you are born again, you have come under the lordship of Jesus, nobody can say that I don't have the capacity to love. You understand? Because God has given you the foundation. God has given you the path. Just as in the Old Testament has its law, the New Testament has its own rules and operating principle, and they are summed up in one word, love. Hallelujah. You know, in the Old Testament, we see that God gave hundreds of laws or commandments, you know, for the children of Israel to keep, you know. And also, you know, and that formed the parameter by which that testament operated. You can't operate those testaments, you know, called the Old Testament, without what? The laws, you know, that are given. The rules that are given. You know? Likewise, when we come into the New Testament, the code by which basically we can also operate the New Testament is love. Say love. Say love. So that means basically it's love is mandatory. Say love is mandatory. Love is mandatory. He said the same way the Old Testament saints were given laws on tablets of stone, the new covenant saints have the love of God indwelling via the Holy Ghost. So the nature of God, first and foremost, we have established that the nature of God is love. No, the essence of God is love. You know, God is love himself. And it's from that cascade of love that God is cascading down to us that we also might cascade back up. Hallelujah. So today we'll be looking at lesson 3, the expression of love. Say expression of love. Say the expression of love. What expression? Expression. When you say you express, from this, our supernatural clinic bulletin, it said walk in love. So that means that expression is movement. Do we agree? Expression is movement. Expression is external. Expression is tangible. Expression can be heard. Expression can be touched. You know, the way Peter said that the things that we have heard, that we have seen, that we have known, that we have handled of the word of truth. So that means that when you say you're expressing love, it's tangible. I can touch it. I can hold it. I can trade with it. So walking in love, you know, is expression. It can be seen. It can be touched. It can be heard. It's the substance of that which is not seen. All of us cannot see love. You can't see love the way you can't see faith. Am I right? And the way you can't see hope. Actually, our Christian faith is a journey of embracing the unseen. Hallelujah. We're embracing what? What we have not seen. But love is not saying that when I come to expressing love, that which I cannot see, I cannot touch it. I cannot hold it. I can wear it like the clothes I put on. I can drive it like the car I drive. You know, I can eat it as the food I know as my breakfast. Amen. So since we have the nature of love in our spirit, we have the commandments, which is love, which has been handed to us. So all that is left now is what? Is the expression, which is the way love behaves. Hallelujah. So that means that expressing love or walking in love is behavior. Now, that brings us to the example we gave earlier on. We said that something is living, it has characteristics. So we can say expressing love is actually characteristics. Amen. So when I say I am walking in love, or the love of God has been deposited in my spirit, you understand? I am loving the brethren. I am loving God. You understand? Then it must be seen in my characteristics. So that means that expressing love is characteristics. Because a love being, we what? We demonstrate what is in it. Hallelujah. So every nature is intrinsic and every nature has its outward manifestation. So the nature called love, you know, is inward, is innate, is inbred, is engrafted in our spirit. But the Bible also makes us understand that it behaves. Love is the living. Love is a living thing. Let me just say it that way. And when love is a living thing, it has characteristics. And if you have characteristics, the expression must be seen, must manifest. It must what? Manifest. And that which is manifested is seen. Do we agree? That which is manifested is seen. It's not like our Nigerian politicians. They have manifestos that we don't see. Please forgive me. Amen. Because actually your manifesto must be seen when you come into power. Amen. Your manifesto must be seen. You know, your manifesto must be seen. You are saying, this is what I'm going to do when I come in. You know, but we don't see anything in what they manifested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the most important lessons we should learn about the expression of love is that it is not first and foremost a feeling. Amen. Say not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. But unfortunately, the world has taught that love is feeling. We grew up, the way we assure ourselves that somebody loves us is based on how we feel. Or we love someone is based on how we feel. And it's on that premise, you know, that we define our interaction. And you know that you can withhold that feeling. That same feeling that is making you to say, I love you. That same feeling you can throw away in the next 2 seconds just by an occurrence. That feeling disappear. So now, but we know that God is unchangeable. God is consistent. So that's why love cannot be a feeling. If it's a feeling, that means that God changes. Hallelujah. It means that God will be changing every day. And when God is changing every day, you're in trouble. Imagine God changing every day. See, the common power, electricity you have in your house, if it's changing every day, what happens to your electronics? You know, now imagine God, which is the highest voltage ever, changing every day. Eh? So that's why love cannot be a what? Cannot be a feeling. Love cannot be a feeling. You know, and we as a people, we cannot, you know, we can't stay in the realm of feeling. Because feeling will not make you to do love. The real love, feeling will not make you to do it. This may be true of inordinate affection, which is lust, or natural affection, human love, but not so for the love of God. You know, the reason for this is that feeling, which are emotional responses, spring up from this soul, but love does not. So, another thing that makes us to know that love cannot be feeling is where it's originating from. You know, love originates from the spirit. The genetic code is in our spirit. Hallelujah. Now, feeling originates from your soul. And we know that our soul is actually falling. The distance between our soul and our spirit is very wide. So you can't assume that because I'm feeling this way, I love this person. I'm feeling this way, I know I don't love this person. No. When it comes to God, to love, the love that God demands us to express is not based on feeling because it will not come from your soul. Your soul has to learn its path. Let's move further. However, to get there, we must have become habitual workers, you know, so that all our souls have learned to respond in love so much that our emotions will then be triggered by love, which is spirit and not flesh. Now, what he's saying basically is that, yes, at the beginning, love is not feeling. The love of God, the love that is in God, you know, the love of the spirit, the love for the brethren, the love within the Father, the one that is practiced in Christ, the one that will practice, you know, at our first birth, you understand? He said they can be feeling. But we can bring it to feeling. And for us to come to the feeling in the love that is in God, it's only be that what? We have experience, we have journey, we have walked, you have been obeying, you have been yielding. Is that your soul has been reconditioned. That's what it means. The day you begin to have God's love with feeling, you understand, your soul has been reconditioned. Amen. And God wants to bring us there. Because actually that's a journey, because God has emotion. Amen. God has emotion. God has feeling. And his feeling are what? Are love. Getting this right, that means that love is not emotion. We set us on course to walk in love no matter how we feel. So that means that walking in love, your feeling might be contrary to what you really want to do. And you have to walk in love. So that means that walking in love will actually bring a contradiction to my emotion. There will be a conflict in my emotion. In other words, love will make me to do what I don't want to do. What I don't love to do. What is not convenient for my emotion, my feeling. You understand? And I have to walk in it. So you will not judge that, oh, the way I'm feeling, I cannot do this because I don't think it's love. No. The way you may be feeling, no, the other way that is not beneficial to you as human reasoning. But the act of love required, you understand, is a way to go. So that means that when I'm walking in love, I'm actually walking contrary to my what? My soul feeling. In truth, when new frontiers, you know, demands and levels of love are shown to a soul, the initial emotion, you know, feeling that is felt is hardly ever happiness. Most time is a mixture of frustration and anger. You know, as we yield, we come into the joy of it, which was always there in the first place, but hidden due to the blindness of our heart. Same can also be said of faith. We don't wait for the right feelings to walk in faith. We are taught to ignore our feelings when it comes to walking by faith. This applies to love walk too. So that means that we must ignore our feeling when we are walking in love. Say, I will ignore my feelings when I'm walking in love. Though my feeling, I don't like it. It's not what I want, but I will obey the dictate of love in Jesus' name. Now, the flow of love is from nature to commandment and to outward expression. We said love is first and foremost embedded, engrafted, The genetic code of love is first and foremost what? In our spirit. It's innate. It's innate. Okay? So between the innate and the expression is commandment. Hallelujah. You know, before you express, between the innate and expression is commandment. So we flow from the innate to commandment, then to expression. Love has outward expression, and one of such is giving. Love gives. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Now, let's just stay a little bit. You know, nature of love, you know, is in our spirit. Then for me to come expression, I must obey commandment. And as you said earlier, those commandments are going to be contrary to your soul commandments. Because your soul had commandments from the beginning also. From Adam, your soul has what? By commandment, you know, gathered a nature. So that means that the expression of love via commandments, you understand, is basically something that is what? Going to be contrary to what you have learned in your soul. So when I'm expressing the love that we are talking about, commandment is what is pushing me. And we know that commandments are seen within regiments. We don't do commandments in civil environments. In democracy, we don't do commandments. Do you agree? Everybody has their own mind. Everybody has their own opinion. Everybody has their own liberty. You know, everybody has their own right enshrined as freedom of speech. Freedom of what I want to look, how I want to behave, where I want to go. You understand? But the same democracy, when you come into the military segment of democracy, they don't live like that. They don't. They have their code. They have their commandments. So a commandment is from a what? From the Lord, from a higher authority to a lower authority. Do you agree with me? You know, and it must be obeyed. So that means that I cannot express love if I cannot obey commandments. That's the truth. You can't express love if you cannot obey commandment. You know why? Because what you want to obey, your soul may not like it. And when your soul doesn't like it, you will likely drop it. And what will make you to pick it up is the recognition and the understanding of the reality that I have a law that I must obey. And that is a commandment. The other love, which is the natural affection, you understand, can be expressed without commandments. Amen. It just flows. So we say that what? Giving, expression of love, is seen in attribute of giving. Amen. Say giving. Say giving. So that means that when we do love, you are parting. Say part. You are parting with something. So that means that you are losing something. But I may be losing something and giving something, yet I might not have love. Somebody is bagging rice and beans, right? To share for election. To win election. Doesn't mean he loves Nigerians. But he's giving, he's spending his money. You don't know how many billions of naira he will spend. That's not small money. So the intent is not love. So I can give without loving. No, the Bible said I can give my body to be burnt. No, that's the highest. Somebody gave himself to be burnt. You know, he doesn't have love. So the fact that I'm giving and it's not stemming, you understand, from the right source, doesn't mean that you are loving. You know, if the intent is not in love. You know, if what is driving it, you understand, is not what? You know, the salvation of your soul. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Life everlasting. So we see God expressing his love by giving what? His only begotten son. Amen. So expression of love, you know, nature, commandment, unto expression, love is giving. So the outward expression of love is giving. Characteristics, we go back to our characteristics, right? You know, characteristic of love is that I must be seeing that's what I'm giving. Amen. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So expression of love is also laying down our life. Does your soul like to lay down his life? You know, if you are there, that your soul loves to lay down his life. Let me see your hand. Amen. So we say expression of love is seen in giving, and it's seen in what? In laying down our life. Hallelujah. Love of God expressed towards us. So we can see that the love of God expressed towards us, God's relations with man has been on the platform of love. God did not just infuse us with love nature and then leave us a love commandment to obey. He also showed us to love. He revealed the ultimate expression of love to us. God will not tell us to do what he does not do. Now Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God commended his love towards us. You know, that word commended, we say God expressed. Amen. You know, in that while we were yet sinner, what Christ did was died for us. 1 John 4:9-10. In this way manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world, that we might live through him. Here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Hallelujah. You know, his nature stirred him to action. And when we learn that love is not a warm feeling, but rather a deliberate release of life against the forces of death. You know, that's powerful. You know, love is not feeling, but it's a deliberate what? Release of life against the forces of darkness. And that is why it's not feeling. Because the forces of darkness are the feeling that will not make us to do what? To do love. Do you agree with me? You know, the force of darkness, the works of darkness, the work of Satan, you know, in our soul is what? Fighting, you know, the real and actual love. It's important to know that we must first have love before we can give love. God can love to the uttermost degree because he is an embodiment of love. We do love by first receiving the love of God. Anyone who is not born again cannot love in this manner. Hallelujah. So the love we are talking about, if you are not born again, you cannot. You know, we said that the beginning of love, the threefold of love, love in our spirit, you know, first and foremost is what? Our spirit, that they deposit the genetic code called love. Hallelujah. And if that is where they deposit, if you are not born again, then you don't have it. The only way to have it is that I'm born again. So we can see that love of God is expressed towards us in giving, in what? In death of Jesus, and in sending his only begotten son. So that's the expression that God showed us that what? He loved us. And those are high gifts. That's the highest gifts anywhere in the world, both in heaven and on earth, that God gave his only begotten son. So God himself is not loving you from without characteristics, without tangibility. And the tangibility of his love towards us is that one of the Godhead came here, lived like one of us, you know, died for our sin, you know, and gave us a pathway for us to what? To come back into God. Amen. So love, you know, expression is tangible. Say tangible. And God demonstrated the tangibility of it in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So love of God expressed through us. Say through us. Love is also an action word, and there is a God-ordained expression of love in and through the life of a believer. We are all called to express or walk in love. However, our walk of love is on two expression or demonstration. We have established that basically that God's expression of love towards us is by giving his only begotten son. It's by sending his only begotten son. And it's tangible. It can be touched. It can be held. It can be felt. And we also, in expressing, you know, love of God, expressing through us, you know, it also have the way it flows. And we are looking at how it flows. Matthew 22:36-40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Said, this is the first commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So love of God expressed through us, first, we express that love by walking in love towards God. Say, walking in love towards God. Walking in love towards God. So that means that the first level of me expressing love is I am walking in love towards God. We are to walk in love towards divinity. In truth, all our love expressions stem from this understanding. Our love walk towards God is in keeping his commandment. Say, keeping his commandment. Now, see, the tangibility of walking in love is real. You know, we know we said that you can't express love without you coming into commandment. So that means that in you expressing love towards God is actually the precursor for your expression of love towards man. And you can only express the love of God towards man by what? Keeping commandment. So that means that commandment is actually my what? My expression of love towards God. So when I'm keeping commandment, God is saying I love him. You know that when God looks at you and he's looking for characteristics of love, what he will look at is what? That you are keeping his commandment. It's not in a choir singing. You know, we feel emotional when we sing. And say, God, I love you. No, God loves that too. He accepts it. You understand? But it's true. When God looks at you and looks at me, okay? And he wants to see that you are expressing love towards him. What he looks at is how many commandments you have kept. The way he say Mr. Niger D, God is also counting his own Mr. Niger what? D. So God is counting commandments. So whenever I say, God, I love you, what should come into my mind is that, how many commandments have I obeyed? God is not moved by saying, I love you. You know, we are the one that is moved by the I love you. And you know that love, the reality of that love, God said, is the real one. So when you say, God, I love you, love with all my heart, God will look down on you. They will open accounts and say, how many commandments have you given him? 10. How many has he kept? 0. He does not love us. Hello? We know earlier we said love is not emotional. That's God, though. It's not emotional. God won't say that, this GD, you know, it comes to choir practice vigil. He sings in the choir. Hallelujah. He sweeps the church. You know, he follows pattern on outing. They are all beautiful. They are loving. But what God will look at is to show that you love him, is to look at commandment they've given you and how much you have kept. Or to look at his commandment that he has set forth within the pages of his scripture and how much you have aligned with. That is when God can say, look, this man is expressing love towards me. Anything fall short of that is just emotion. It's just feeling. And feeling don't go beyond the ceiling of your mind. So keeping his commandments is the way God knows that we love him. This is how we express our love towards God. It is not primarily an emotional outflow, although our emotion will respond as we grow in love. In the beginning, however, it is a resolution. Say resolution. Say deliberate. Conclusion within oneself. To obey his commandment. It can be carried out without the presence of anyone else because God is always present. This needs to be stressed so that we are able to obey God even when it seems unpopular to do so. So you have to be deliberate about it. You know, we keep some commandments deliberately that in the natural world because we know they are detrimental to our living. Amen. Nobody will tell you in Lagos, don't walk in the midnight. There's no law of Lagos that say don't walk in the midnight. But you are resolute about it. Wherever you are, you know when your bus stop is going to be empty. You know when there's no big bus to where you are living. You migrate. That's resolution. You know bus stop that by 8 o'clock, they snatch laptop, they snatch phone. You move. I'm just trying to emphasize what it means to be resolute. Amen. Amen. Now, those unseen commandments in the natural, we keep them.
you know, but what is, you know, you are resolute about it. Even say you might be in some meeting, you tell your boss, sir, I need to go home. It's not because you are rude to him, but you just know that what danger is somewhere. The earlier I move, the better. And nobody will take you home. No, okay, I need to go home. That's been resolute. That's been deliberate. So in walking in love towards God, we have to be deliberate. We have to be resolute. We have to be intentional. You have to make up your mind to do it. Hallelujah. John 14 verse 15. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said, if you love me. So this is God speaking. He said, if you love me, no, you will keep my commandment. But whosoever keepeth his word, that's 1 John verse 5. For whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So keeping is another word for what? Resolute. I'm resolute. I am deliberate. I am intentional. Is that what? I am keeping his word. Then walking in love towards men. Amen. These have to do with our interaction. He said, God, in his wisdom, tied the expression of our love for him to how well we're able to love others. Particularly the brethren, our love will begin from within our fold is our believer's badge and identity. Before all men, it must be seen, it must be acknowledged, because true love cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. You know, we have looked at walking in love towards God. Now, walking in love towards men also is tangible. You know, what's a badge? Some of us work in a corporate organization. There's a corporate organization you cannot get to if you don't have a pass. They must give you access. And to give you access, they must what? Give you a card. And that card is an electronic system that passes you. Amen. Now, that badge or that card, you understand, is an identifier. And by identifier, that means that it identifies you that you can come into this building. You know, another way we can bring it home that when we're in secondary school, we all had badges, right? It's always on our pocket side. Am I right? Different school have different what? Different form of badges. Amen. So when you come to school, you know, which uniform does not have a badge, we know basically that this was shown to you by your father or your mother. Because the real school uniform will be embossed with a badge, you know, which is an identifier. Amen. So believer's badge and identity, you know, is actually an expression of his love towards his brethren. And badges are not hidden. Badges are clear, glow, you see it. Badges are what? Loud. If you see a policeman, a correct policeman, if you check his shoulder, amen, he has a badge. So badges are visible. They are not hidden. The identity. Those are the things that identify that I'm walking in love towards my brethren. And it's not hidden. You can't hide walking in love towards brethren. You can't say, me, I'm walking in love, and nobody can see it. You say, me, I'm walking in love in this church. But no single person can testify of your love towards them. But you don't have to tell anybody that you're actually walking in love towards the brethren. The brethren will know. It will be loud. It will be clear. Amen. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we love God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. So, the badge in laying down our life. I love you, you know, in laying down my life. So, when I lay down my life, it should be so glaring, that badge, you understand, it should be seen. It's not hidden. It's not something that is shrouded in mystery. In other words, walking in love towards brethren does not need revelation. There's nothing coded about it. It's the simplest way that God has made it for love to be seen. Eyes are wide open, and everybody can what? Can see it. 1 John 4:20 to 21. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he say he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom we hath seen, how can he love God whom we hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God must love his brother also. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. If you have love one to another, So that means that a disciple has already carried badge. A disciple is one that has been badged. A disciple is one that loveth the brethren. A disciple is not one that what? That has gathered all the knowledge of the face of the Son unto eternal life without any badge. A disciple is not he that knows how to speak it and know how to draw the blueprint. You know, he that has a badge is he that is able to lay down his life for another. So we, as a people, we must ensure that we have badge. You know, our badge must be big. Our badge must be loud. Our badge must speak for us in all our conversation. Why we need to walk in love towards the saints and the brethren? Now, why do I need to walk in love? What does God have in mind? You know, laying these commandments upon me to walk in love towards the brethren. One thing we have to agree with is every commandment of God, we are the first beneficiary. That's what I've learned. Whatever God will ask you to do, you first benefit from it. It first deposits the wealth, the blessing, first and foremost to you, before it can even what? It goes to God. So there's a reason for us to walk in love towards the brethren. You know, and we'll be looking at them. Love is a commandment of God to every believer. And we have stressed that a commandment does not need your opinion. A commandment does not need your suggestion. A commandment does not need your analysis. A commandment does not need your tweaking. You know, some of us, we tweak God's commandments. You just fine-tune a little bit, you understand? And you're home. Hallelujah. Say, God, let me just help you. The way you constructed it is too bloody. It's too, no, this one will kill me instantly. Let me just help you to fine-tune a little bit. You know, then we'll be doing it. Amen. Amen. It's not a suggestion. It's not an advice. It's mandatory. It's totally unacceptable for a believer to be found lacking in this. It's a commandment from the beginning. You know, John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So we cannot count you as a disciple. And the people out there cannot know that you're a disciple if you cannot what? Love, you know, keep the commandment of God for every believer. So love is a commandment. I don't have to be good about it. It doesn't have to sync with my philosophy. It doesn't have to sync with my upbringing. It doesn't have to sync with what my community dictates. It doesn't have to sync with what the world is championing. For me, it's a commandment from my Lord, and I must keep it. So that means that at every encounter where love must be expressed, I must arm myself with this understanding. Because expressing love, we are seeing in it, is in giving, is in laying down our life. So when I come to that junction of living or laying down my life or giving, you understand, and I'm shrinking back, I must be able to tell myself, it's a commandment. I must do it. It's a must. It's mandatory. You know, we must come to that threshold, because that is when you really know that I don't want to do this thing. God is asking me to do it, but I have no choice. It's a commandment. You must arm your soul, your mind with that. That in this matter, yes, you know, it's taking away from me. It's pressing me. It's knocking me into a corner. It's taking away my liberty. It's a commandment. I must do it. That resolution must be in our what? In our spirit. We as a people, we must arm ourselves with that. There's no opinion. There's no suggestion. I can't find tune. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. Say it's a commandment. I must do it. 2 John 1, 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which has been from the beginning, that we love one another. John 15, 12, verse 15, 12, and 17. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. As we said earlier on, a command comes from a general. Amen. A command comes from regiments. You know, the Bible said that we are soldiers, isn't it? He said you don't want to tangle yourself with what? The civilian matters. Hallelujah. These are the things that bring to bear. This is what brings you home. When you say you're a soldier, you obey the last order. You don't have opinion. Move, you move. Sit, you sit. Don't come back until the battle is won. You don't come back. You can't say, ah, sir, sorry. Oh. They said my child has malaria at home. I need to be at home. You can't even bring it up. So we must arm ourselves that love is a commandment. You know, the reason God asked me to, you know, walk in love towards the saints, you understand that? Why? Is I must learn to keep commandments. Because in keeping commandments, is my soul going to be saved? Our love in the spirit is the identity and badge of a believer. You know, we have stressed this. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. If you love one another, the only way you can be identified within the fold and even outside the fold is by the badge. In other words, within the fold, we can identify and know that you're a believer, amen, or you're a disciple without you having that badge. And that badge is what? Love. And even outside also, unbelievers, the only way they can identify you, you know that they can't identify Christians in the street. They can't identify us. But the early days, all the early disciples, they can identify them. Peter alone, they know. He said, this one looks like them. His speech looks like them. When Peter was about betraying Jesus, he didn't have a badge. He didn't have a name tag on him. By his speaking, by his attitude, the way he's doing things, they know that this one has been with Jesus. So badges are real. He said, walking in love to the brethren will manifest and reveal a believer's claim to righteousness. It is the proof of righteousness in us. So if I say I'm righteous, the proof of righteousness is walking in love. The proof that I'm a righteous man is walking in love. So if I can't walk in love, I can't say I'm a righteous man. I can't lay claim to righteousness. Righteous living is shown in love walk. And if you look through the scripture, it dots it. I don't understand. How a man will sit under a tree. Man that I had never seen before is killing a calf. Have you asked such a thing? I'm talking about Abraham. How many of us can sit at the gate of our house and you see a stranger, you bring him into your house? It doesn't gel with feeling, right? That will tell you how much stature our father Abraham has. Our own feeling is still in crisis. His own feeling is not in crisis. You know, there's a command that said, I do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. He said, all men, right? He said, all men. All men. So Father Abraham fulfilled that commandment. He said, all men. So walking in love to the brethren will manifest and reveal a believer's claim to righteousness. Is a proof of righteousness in us. 1 John 3:10 to 12. In this, the children of God are manifest, or are made known, or are seen. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother, wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's work was righteous. So that means that walking in love actually crystallizes righteous living. Every work of love that we do, every time we walk in love, you know, we are only what? Laying claim to righteousness. We are further establishing righteousness within us, and we are journeying. Our expression of love towards our brethren is passing from life to death. So when we also express our love, you know, the love of God towards the brethren, you know, we pass from death to life. When we are loving, we are living. Our love will give us an opportunity to stay in death or to pass to life. We say love is not emotional, right? It might not go with our senses, right? Dying does not go with our senses too. Now, we are saying that why God asks us to walk in love is because he wants to make us to pass from death unto life. In other words, if I don't walk in love towards the brethren, I will remain in the land of the dead. I will keep dead substances. I will keep dead attributes. My soul will continue to harbor, you understand, the things and the properties of the devil. That's what it means. No matter how many messages I've heard, no matter how many conventions I go to, no matter how many Bible study I do, the reality is that if I can't walk in love towards the brethren, what God said he will destroy, he will not destroy. Because the medium by which God has designed to destroy those works of the devil is actually I walking in love towards my brethren. So every time I walk in love, I'm actually saying, I'm cross, where are you? Here are my hands, nail it. These are my legs, nail it. So if I choose not to walk in love towards brethren, I'll stay in the camp of the dead. I'll remain dead. The properties of darkness will sit in me. Yes, I'm born again, though. I'm born again. I'm heaven bound. But the truth is that I love death. So every time I turn down walking in love amidst the brethren opportunity, what I've done basically is that I've decided to sit in what? In the region of the, no, you know, those that sit in the region of what? Of darkness. I'm saying God light, I don't want it. Salvation of my soul, I don't need it. You know, living, no, everlasting life, I don't want you. Eternal life, I don't want you. Amen. 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 1 John 3:14-17. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So that means that love is a bridge that made me to cross over, you know, from death into life. So every time I walk, you know, in love amidst the brethren, what am I doing? I'm taking a journey from death into life. And there are many journeys you will take. Hundreds of journey. As you are taking that journey, you know, on this side, you know, it's like a balance, a weight, a balance, a scale. You understand? It's like you crossing from, it's like you put properties, you know, in this balance on the left. And you put properties, you know, and this balance on the right is actually empty. Okay? Now, and the balance on the left is what? Are the works of the enemy. It's death. Okay? Now, God is saying that every time I will move from here to this side. Now, when I'm moving from here, you know, it's all subtle. Though it's darkness they are dealing with. But what you arrive in is life. So this scale will begin to what? Tilt upward. And this scale will begin to get heavy. So whenever I lose walking in love amidst wedding opportunity, I am further reinforcing that I love death. And I want to die. That's what it means. You're saying, I want to die. God, leave me. I want to die. Whenever God gives you a commandment to love amidst the brethren and you refuse it, you're saying, God, leave me. I want to die. That's what you're saying. I love death. You know, in other words, he said, my covenant with hell and death. God, don't break it. That's what you're saying. God, don't break it. Don't touch it. I love darkness. That's what you're saying. And that's why this is very, 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 very important. So if you're saying, God, I love life, I want to live, you're only saying, God, I want to walk in love amidst the brethren. I want to lay my life down amidst the brethren. I want to give. I want to be sent. I want to part. The more I part, the more I lay down my life, the more I do love work, the more heaven is reassured that you can actually get to destination. So when heaven looks down on you and they find that basically all, you know, commandment comes and you know, commandment come, you say no. Commandment come, you say no. It comes to a point, they will leave you. When you say, I don't want to die, you only say, I want to love my brethren. That's what it means. I don't want to die. I want to love the brethren. Our love work is the key to opening us to knowledge and understanding of doctrine and our inheritance. See, the gateway to understanding to how it's been opened is also tied to our love work, walking in love. I miss the brethren. I pick my Bible. I don't understand what they are saying. I don't ko ye me. It seems as if they're not connected, right? That guy said that by walking in love, no, the scripture will be open to me. I will understand doctrine. Amen. The fact that you're able to keep one is to show that they have to open more for you. Because what you kept at first is also part of what you are seeking to understand. And he that is faithful in little, they must give him more. That is it. Amen. If you're, you know, and imagine when you are faithful in many walking in love, they will keep opening more and more and more for you. The work is not in opening, oh. The real work is in doing. So when they see that you know the end of the word of opening, then what they do to you? They will commit more to you. Revelation is not the work. Colossians 1, 4 to 10. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have towards all the saints, emphasis of the love which you have towards all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you. Since the day you heard of it and knew of the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your what? Love in the Spirit. Now, the next verse. Say, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So walking in love, I mean the brethren can open up the scripture. And I also bring it home. Walking in love, I mean the brethren, can also bring you under the economy, you understand, of the spirit that open up scripture to pastor. See, when you keep commandment, that's what it does for you. He is keeping commandment, that's why he's opening. Because the man writing this is also one who is laying doctrines, who is downloading the blueprint from heaven, who has understanding, who has knowledge. He's not saying, look, you can come to this economy that I'm engaging in if you're able to walk, you know, in love. I miss the brethren. So you see that maybe it's not even much prayer that will make you to have understanding. So if pastor has put this together, he knows that he can open up an economy. And that economy of understanding is tied here. So when the man of love comes, you must remember and tie it to yourself that, look, I don't have understanding, no. I need knowledge. This thing had to open up to me. I was able to relate with it. You know, let me know. God, I will obey you. I will do your bidding. I will walk in love. I miss the brethren. Then you find the scripture opening up. It will open up. It's in the Bible. Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now look at what he said. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So love unto all the saints, open us revelation and knowledge of him. But you don't think so. You think it's revelation. Revelation. For God to open up things for you and give you understanding. It might not even be with your Bible. It might not be with your Bible. It might just be on the street. It just open. It might be in the toilet. It just pop up. You're in a bus. It just pop up. And it might just be a single verse. And by the time you plot it, what you don't understand for 5 years, you understand in one day. That's power. And such power is only deliverable when you have love towards all the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So why do I need to walk in love? I mean, it's the brethren, so I can gain understanding, so I can come into knowledge. Say, I will walk. I will walk. I will walk until I come into understanding. Another reason why we have to walk in love amidst the brethren, you know, our love walk prepare us for receiving the ministry of angels. If we are able to love and be hospitable to brethren, brethren are strangers, we will be open and prepared to receive the visitation of angels. Strangers is also a term for saints and brethren. If you agree that you're a stranger, let me see your hand. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against your soul. 1 Peter 1:1-2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, through Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, to bring this home, your brother is a stranger. You are also a stranger. Love is a stranger on this earth. But your soul is earthy. Your body is earthy. Amen. Amen. Angels, when they come into our domain, into our sphere, they are strangers. Now, because your brother is a stranger, what makes him a stranger is that he's on a journey. Do you agree? He's on a journey to his real abode. You know, he's on a journey. Then, love walk amidst the brethren. You understand? Is to help his journey. You know what makes it intermingled? Love. When you do love, when you walk in love, God use this present material to walk love for what? The new location. I'm just trying to bring it home. You know, why is stranger? The present material, when you say walk in love, or I'm walking in love amidst the brethren, with material, the substances, the medium of engagement, okay, are earthly. Are here. Because you do it here. But when you are doing it to strangers who are on a journey, and that action will further make you a stranger and also make this other fellow also a stranger. And for you to receive the ministry of angels, we must understand this. Instead of angels, come to strangers. You know that. So that means that angel can't come to me if I don't understand stranger. When I say strangers, you're on a journey to the other side. Amen. So stranger comes looking for strangers. And you must understand that your brethren is also a stranger. Amen. And that economy of strangers must be used. So when the church were dispersed about, they called them strangers because this word is not worthy of them. And what is making the word not worthy of them is the walking in love that we are talking about. So the ministry of angels come to us when we recognize that our brethren are strangers. And we are able to engage from that. No, see, it's in this generation that strangers don't have meaning. Do you know that? In this present world, strangers don't have meaning. You walk into a city called Lagos, you don't have to put your head. You don't do it. I said, you're a malam. and it's in the sincerity of their heart. Their culture is just the way, you know, they are. Not simplicity of their heart. Because where they are coming from, there must be a level of the measure of that stranger being recognized. And I can prove that when I was serving in Bauchi, I came out of the bank. I was going home. And one of our colleagues just bought a car. Doesn't know how to drive well then. It's not up to 5 seconds he drove out of the, you know, banking premises. He ran into a big ditch. And he was in there. He couldn't come out. You know, when we got to know, we came out. And we're trying to salvage the situation. Do you know what? Every bus, every car, every bicycle man, every Okada man, every man walking on the leg, stop in that location. And I told myself, this can't happen in Lagos. I saw a man that was fully clothed in white agbada. Fully clothed in white agbada. He didn't stop and told his driver to get down. He came down himself. With his barbaric guy, with his agbada. He came down. You know, we all pulled the car out of the ditch together. 1 Chronicles 29:15. We are strangers before thee and sojourners, and all our fathers, our days are on earth are a shadow, and there's none abiding. Love constrain us. You know, love constrain us. Why do we need to walk in love amidst the brethren? Because love constrains us. We are all journeying out of the carnality where the predominant law at work is the law of self, which is sin and death. Everyone likes to do what is convenient and pleasing to himself, which is the way of all flesh. At new birth, certain liberties to do as we like become less and taken away. There's a restraint in us when we are about to violate the law of the Spirit. This is the power of love in our spirit. Every believer has it, and we ought to grow in our recognition and submission to this provision of grace. This is how we mortify the deeds of the flesh. Love constrains. You know, it compels us, it limits us, it restricts our flesh, it controls us, it instructs us, it guides us, it gives us measurement of the standard of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Say, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if anyone die for her, then are her dead. So love is a constrainer. Say constrainer. Love is a constrainer. When you want to do a project, you know, you look at your resources, then you look at the things that will not make that resource to come to pass. Am I right? You know, we call it constraining factors. Constraining factors are the things that holds you back. They keep you at bay. They check you. So love constrains us. How does it constrain us? You know, our soul, we are carnal. Sin and death works in us. Now, for sin and death not to continue to do a campaign, to do an invasion, one of the ways that God has earmarked for us to check his work and to kill his work is by love work. It's by walking in love. So when I choose not to walk in love amidst the brethren, what does that mean? I'm saying basically, I am loose. I have no law. I have no barrier. I have no restraint. Everything is doable. There's no limitation to my invasion. But love will constrain you. He will say, no, you can't do that to your brother. You can't do that to your sister. Abba, 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 come on. Stop it. We pastor will say that. He will close his eyes like this. So love constrain. It constrains us from the excesses of the flesh. You know, we said that crossing from death to life is what love does for us also. This is how he does it. Constrains you, then you begin to mortify the works of the flesh. The expression of love, under love in the spirit, we have buttress that is tangible. It's tangible, it's not shrouded in what? In mystery. It's what can be touched, what can be heard, what can be seen. It has badge, you know, it can be identified. It's real. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just speak in the spirit? Let's just talk to the Lord. Hallelujah.